This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Are we drinking Kool-Aid or taking truth serum about these Dallas Cowboys? As they wrapped up minicamp yesterday, they are done with their offseason programmed. They will next be on the football field here in about 6 weeks or so when they are in Oxnard, California for training camp.
Oxnard.
And the Cowboys, as we are going to take a look at each position group and how we feel about where the Cowboys are at right now, stability-wise along the roster. And I think it's important to note really quickly that they worked out a couple of different players yesterday, and this is typically what they do at the end of minicamp. They will either the last day of minicamp, day after, or the week after before the coaches leave for a little bit of a break. They'll take a look at just various players at positions that they feel we need to solidify these before we get into training camp. And so it's usually an indicator of where the coaching staff feels like their positions are questionable. So they worked out two cornerbacks yesterday, two defensive linemen. Then they worked out a veteran offensive tackle, George Fant. And Fant is the one that I think is probably indicative that they have some questions at swing tackle. The defensive lineman that they worked out, they had worked out Perrion Winfrey, formerly from Oklahoma, DeVerry Levelston. And then the corners they had were Robert Rochelle and Jerry Jacobs, two guys who have come out of the draft in recent years, but have been in the USFL and your UFL, whichever one it is now, and contributed there. So we're going to take a look at the Cowboys position groups, and since I was out at camp at mini camp and the OTAs and taking it all in, I did get eyes on some things that would make me feel better about certain situations, but it also maybe placed me too close and made me feel like I might be sipping a little bit of Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. And so you guys, as having just seen the offseason moves, and instead maybe feel like you can sift through what is shady propaganda potentially from excited reporters, you guys can give the perspective of, all right, we're not in it right there. So here's how we're going to grade these things. We're going to look at the position groups and we're going to grade it on, are you excited about this position group? Meaning slam dunk, total confidence, I feel good. Confident, which is probably a little more optimistic, but not necessarily certain. Uncertain, which is just, I have no idea about it. Concerned, or you think they're doomed and you feel certainty that this position's broken unless they change the dynamic up. So let's start here at the quarterback position with a recovering Dak Prescott, the addition of Joe Milton, and Will Greer in the quarterback room. You want to lead us off, Sean?
Yeah, I'll say confident because of the things around Dak. I could have concern because of the injury and the age and all that. I'll say confident because of how I feel about the offensive line and the addition of George Pickens. So, confident.
Chop.
Confident, just the quarterback room you talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Confident, The obviously the issue is like how many games are the others going to have to play?
Right. Does he stay completely healthy, yeah, or do you need what I think right now would be Will Greer versus potentially Joe Milton, depending on where how far he comes along in terms of the processing and things like that. So which one are you going to settle?
I would say confident.
Confident. Okay. All right. When it comes to
you,
I
dare you say excited. Come on. Homer it up to start.
Confident. I know I was actually confident or uncertain because I don't know what Dak's health is going to be like. This is a year to like kind of make or break. Does he have a health issue moving forward?
I'm confident for 13 games.
You mentioned the things around him and the addition of George Pickens. This was Dak yesterday talking about his impression of George Pickens to this point.
Yeah, I don't think that's why you should ever really listen to what somebody else says about somebody. I think you should judge everyone from, not judge, but find out for yourself who they are and allow them to reveal them their character to you. The guy's been great. He's been phenomenal. He's a guy that loves football, loves his teammates. He's been excited every day that he's been here. He's been early. So no concerns on the personal matters of GP and anything about it. Just super excited that he's on our team. He's one of us, and he's a brother, and it's just about continuing to grow and making sure that we're putting the best out there, and that's his approach.
Great answer.
Hit it out of the park.
But it doesn't hold a lot of weight. There's been no incompletion that matters. There's been no miscommunication.
None.
There's been no thought in George's mind right now about getting paid.
No sideline issues.
All this sounds all nice and sweet until the bullets are live.
Which is why this does not reflect. This right here does not reflect on we were wrong about George Pickens. This can only be graded on the how is Dak's political game? Is it sharp right now? Is he giving the right answer? Because there's a way to mess up that answer.
Yeah.
And
George could have come in initially. Like, you meet people in life who are immediate jackasses.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to find out about them. You know it. So at least George, according to Dak, is checking all the boxes.
All right, we're doing the confidence meter in the Cowboys position groups as they head off to their off-season vacation before training camp here in about 6 weeks in Below the Belt, which is brought to you by D&M Leasing. Check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Chop, we'll start with you here on the running back group, which is Miles Sanders and Javonte Williams. And then behind that, you've got Deuce Vaughn and then the drafted players, Jaden Blue and Phil Maffa.
I'm uncertain. And the uncertainty has nothing to do with the running backs. It has to do with the offensive line. I like Jaden Blue. I'm excited about Jaden Blue. I'm excited about seeing what he has. I'm not very excited about Miles Sanders.
Man, Bobby didn't hype you up on Miles Sanders the past 2 weeks?
No. No. You cannot hype me up on a running back on his third team.
Okay.
That means he's been in the league too long.
Sean?
I'm uncertain because I think by the end of the year, Blue will be the best running back on this team. By the end of the year, he might be right away just because he has the freshest leg.
Concerned. I'll be a little more negative. Uncertain is kind of like concerned, but I was really concerned and I may have even said doomed last year and Rico finished strong, but I'll go concerned and leaving room to change to uncertain.
Yeah, I would. I'm going to put myself at uncertain right now because, I mean, they got a guy they liked, Blue. I think Sanders has looked good. Brian Schottenheimer had a lot of really high praise for Javonte Williams yesterday in terms of the way he practices. He talked about, thank you for reminding me. He said, I need to ask him. He said, because it's been sticking out to me. I need to ask him who taught him how to practice. Because it's very clear somebody taught him how to handle himself and how to go through certain logistics. So I'm on uncertain, though, but I was definitely. I've trended up a little. I probably was concerned. All right, we are doing the breakdown of the position groups for the Cowboys and the confidence level heading into training camp. I'm going to group together the tight ends and the receivers for pass catchers. So we've got the, obviously, Pickens addition in there. You've got Ferguson, who was down last year, is looking for a bounce back season. Brevin Spanford and Schoonmaker in the tight end room. But you've got all the receivers behind that. Mingo, Tolbert. Turpin, that little collection of guys who were trying to fit in as the two who ended up bumping now for a competition for three. How do you feel, Sean?
Including the tight ends, dragged that down. That was an attempt for you to drag that down a little bit for me. Otherwise, it was going to be easy excitement.
But
I'll keep it at excited. I'm excited for George Pickens. I'm excited to see what Pickens does for Lamb. I'm excited for Turpin because one of the observations yesterday from practice was Brian Schottenheimer playing around with a bunch of different combinations. Cross-training. Turpin work at running back. Deuce Vaughn work at receiver. Hunter Lipke work at tight end. So, including the tight ends did not help or excite me, but I'll stay excited.
Okay, Chop, where do you fall down on this one for the pass catch?
And I was terrified before the move. Doomed. Not doomed. Terrified before the trade.
Before the pick and strip? Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. Pickens is a good player. Obviously, we know what Lamb is. I still think Ferguson is I'm not worried about last year. I'm not worried about that because, you know, Dak wasn't there for half the year. So I don't think you can use any of their numbers. So, yeah, there's excitement. This is still a good offense. Like, the idea that this is a bad offense. No. This offense is going to put up 26, 27 a game.
We've heard a lot about scheme changes. Pickens was a big part of the personnel additions. Dak was asked yesterday, all right, outside of scheme, what is your outlook for the personnel changes that have occurred?
The changes we've made, and not just offense, but defense as well, bringing in people. I mean, obviously what George adds really opens up all those other receivers, right? Some of the guys we're looking for, who's going to be the two? I mean, I think it just gives them a little safety net in the sense to go earn and just to go play free and go make a huge jump. Guys like Mingo and Tolbert and yeah, the way the backs have approached this thing, I'm super excited. I mean, I know we've made some changes, as I said, or as you said, personnel and then the scheme. That'll just come with it. I think Shotty's done a good job with this mini camp of putting guys in the right places, putting guys in space and seeing, allowing guys to see how he's going to use them.
And I am, while you three are excited, when you include Dak Prescott, saying I'm excited to see it, I'm going to go confident. And even if it was outside, if you took the tight end group away, I would still be confident in the receivers. It's still just, it is a three-receiver league. I don't know what the third receiver is going to look like. And Pickens does need to show, like, hey, I've got to prove some things here in terms of my stability with the organization. And then we'll do the offensive line here last. We'll pick up with the defense next week. Offensive line, are you excited, Sean Sharif? Confident, uncertain, concerned, or they're doomed?
I'm excited, but my second answer would be uncertain. It's easy to say uncertain, but look, man, we got three first-round young picks together in Guyton, Booker, and Smith. That should produce a bunch of stud offensive line play. So I don't know if it's going to work. In a lot of these answers, I would like to be confident above all else. Excitement is nothing certain. Confident has more certainty. But I'm excited, but I'm leaving open a lot of room to be uncertain or concerned if Guyton plays like he did, if Booker has a Guyton-type rookie season, what's going to happen with Steele. There's a lot of question marks, but I'm excited right now because of the pedigree.
Yeah, I'm excited with a dash of concern. Got to have it. Got to have a dash of concern in there because this thing could blow up. But I'm excited because you've got, it's the same formula, essentially, that they used with the previous one. Let's just keep stockpiling first-round draft picks on an offensive line, and let's go. And that's exactly the formula they used the last 10 years.
Excited. I think both the tackles are going to be a lot better. And I think that the floor for Tyler Booker is a better player than what Zach Martin was giving you last year.
B-Lo.
D-Belt.
With our insider Bobby Belt on the home of the Dallas Cowboys and Texas Rangers. Let's hook you up with an early Father's Day gift. Our final Luke Bryan ticket giveaway of the week. And our brand new segment, Worst Take of the Week. Is it the Cooper Flag comparison? Zach Wolchuk or Peyton Russell, who has no idea what I'm talking about? Worst take after this. He's shaking his head slowly.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And we do that here on your official home of the Dallas Cowboys with our insider Bobby Belt, attending Cowboys practice all week long on DFW Sports Station. We got a lot of Cowboys news to get to, including the Jerry Jones Netflix release on August 19th. It is the Dallas Cowboys, America's team, the gambler, and his Cowboys. You got that. Trayvon Diggs says he's aiming for week one, and we're going to get the LA Rams in Oxnard. All of that as we go inside the Star.
Yeah, it was a busy day yesterday. I'm surprised, by the way, we got that announcement of the release date, because I know it's not done yet. Like, and so anytime they put a release date out for anything that's not actually finished yet, I'm always surprised by it.
Well, weren't they always like...
They had a target at range.
Yeah, roughly. But I'm talking about TV shows. Like, doesn't South Park write it like the week of?
Yeah. South Park's turnaround time, the way that they're able to do things, is nuts.
And I imagine Hard Knocks in season is probably a quick turnaround where they're doing things last second. I know one episode of Vanderpump Rules, I think Scandival, they were editing last second, I believe. Rest in peace, Vanderpump Rules.
All right, so out at Cowboys minicamp yesterday, the top headline was Micah Parsons. So Micah... We had anticipated he wasn't going to do anything on the field, was the anticipation. He had said, yeah, I might go out there Wednesday, do some stuff if my back isn't tight. And it's like, all right, just say you're holding in, dude. But he's out there. He's watching the D-line drills. They were inside. And he's got his beanie on. Does not look like he's going to be doing anything. And then you see him just kind of looking around. And he kind of waves at somebody. And one of the equipment guys comes over, hands him a helmet. He takes off his beanie, puts the helmet on, and he goes, get out of the way, I'm getting in there. And he got in the defensive line drills. And it wasn't just that. The way it works, they got these, they got the two guys there, and it's this competition, basically. They will snap a ball or simulate snapping a ball, and you're supposed to get off and go through the bag. And it's like this, you know, all right, let's see who's off the ball quicker. And so it's like it becomes this little competition. Micah had them do it 3-4 times in a row. And I can't remember who he was doing it across from, but he did it. And he goes, no, back again. And then he went back. And so, like, you could tell he's been itching.
Were you guys scurrying when you're like, oh, my God, Micah, what's Micah doing? So he had to be. It's like that cockroach in the hallway.
The one Choppy's not even killing. He's, like, just brushing down the hall. Like, hey,
I wanted everybody to see it.
Look at this guy.
He wants to do his Nat Geo.
Yeah.
Narration of the cockroach.
The cockroach in the Americas in North of downtown, lives a good life.
So it was. No, it's funny when that kind of thing happens. It depends on how obvious it is to everyone. If Mike is slipping on his helmet, and they got all these different position groups, then you're kind of quietly just like, don't look like I'm panicking too much to take this photo. Let's make sure I get the only photo of Mike slipping this on. If it's something where, all right, it's happening right in front of you, you're communicating. You're saying, hey, do you see this? So-and-so's doing this or whatever else. This one was everybody could kind of tell. And so you're just quickly over there like, oh, let's get a shot of Micah because we don't know how long this is going to last. But he stayed out there for the next two or three drills they were doing. When they went to team period, he came off the field, didn't participate in that. But he couldn't help himself. He loves ball too much, Sean.
Two questions.
Two questions.
Number one, did David Mulugeta know that this was happening? Micah, super agent. And number two, did anything that Micah and Jerry discussed the day before kind of nudge Micah or inspire Micah to get out there on the field and show old Jerry I am worth that $40 million plus. I tagged David Mulugela on Twitter and said, I bet David Mulugela is having a stroke right now, having a heart attack, near pass out.
I would guess David Mulugela knew it was possible that he was going to work. Mike, I don't think is generally going to step out and, like, if they've had an agreement of, like, you're not doing anything, I don't think Mike would have just done it. I think he knew it was possible. Jerry, I don't think anything would have pushed Jerry. In fact, my conspiracy theory in my head was the Cowboys being under the impression he wasn't going to do anything, because I think that has been their impression in large part. And maybe, you know, David and Mike, they talk a little bit and they go, like, just, you know, throw the helmet on. Just get him just out of nowhere. Just run into a drill. Get them all excited and then just step back out or whatever. And, like, get some buzz going about you being out there and you looking like, oh, man, this is the kind of guy that I am. I'm so competitive. Like, I couldn't even sit this way. I thought that was more possible. But he definitely, if he was acting and that was calculated, he played it off well. I think the reality is he did just get an itch and went, I need to get in here. And the competitiveness kind of got to him.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the agent would have an issue if he was, like, doing, like, team. If it was in teams.
Was he running? What speed percentage was he running?
So he was doing drills that, like, simulate coming off the ball both times. So he wasn't, like, doing full sprints or anything. He was just doing, like, down in a stance and then bursting off the line and then running around a bag. And then he ran around a hoop.
So, like,
he
did a 75%? Hoop
drill. Yeah, just he definitely was exploding out of his stance. Yeah. So, I mean, but that was it.
If he gets hurt there, that was a ticking time bomb anyway. It was going to happen.
No.
Oh, absolutely. There was no risk of injury in that.
And you don't do it before you sign your deal.
Athletes. Athlete. Like, they're play pickup basketball in the offseason.
Agent, 40 million is 40 million. Like,
I'm
not saying it wipes out the entire deal. Noah Brown got carted off yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know. You don't mess around with that. And the second part of it is, unless this pushes Jerry and Steven over the edge to say, this is the type of guy we wanted to wait and see, and this is the leadership we were talking about. Sign the deal. That was the final cherry. You gave the impression that you can't stay away. That did not help, unless what I just said applies. That in no way, I don't know whether I don't know how much it hurt, but that in no way helped the appearance or thought that Micah Parsons is not going to come around your football team or participate when you're trying to win games.
Yeah, I don't know that it changes the negotiation at all. Like, he was always going to play week one, and he was never going to sign before camp because the Cowboys aren't going to do that. The Cowboys are going to make him wait till August, whatever. They're going to fart around with this thing like they always do, whether it's Dak week, you know, opening night or opening day or CD or Zach.
What if he blew his knee out? You still think they're just signing him before the season?
I mean, they might. I mean, they did with Dak. You know, they signed with Dak. Again, different position. But, I mean, also, like, you know, he's not going to blow his knee out there.
Okay.
If he was doing team drills, I would have a bigger issue.
Okay. Achilles. He's exploding out of his stance. He's running the hoop drill, so he's going to be extending that Achilles tendon. Like, you could absolutely. It's not likely, but you could do something there.
Half of a percent chance.
Sure. It's a small chance.
Yeah.
But if it happens,
it's about the same chance that he would have it. He would probably have a greater chance in the weight room doing.
I would also do
any kind of explosive weight activity.
I would also say, like, exploding out of your stance like that, though, like pushing off of that, and then it's the first time you've done field work. Those first few reps are going to be some of the higher percentage chances of.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I agree with the percentage that you're talking about. All I'm saying is, if you don't go on the field, there's a 0% chance of it happening.
And, like,
well,
you say,
there's a 0% chance there. I'm saying, like, it could still happen in the weight room. Like, you would have if that Achilles rips in 75%. It's a compromised one anyway. It probably would have been injured in the gym.
Well, like you say, I think it does potentially. It's twofold. Like you say, either they look at it and go, "Man, we needed to see the competitor show his commitment," and this pushes us this way. The other end of it is Dallas sitting there going, "Gotcha. Okay, you're gonna blink. You can't help yourself. So if we just drag this out as long as we want, eventually you're gonna say." Fine, because I don't want to miss games. I'll take it. I'll do it. And that's more of what I think it could be.
Let's talk about a teammate of Micah Parsons and a meeting room mate on that defensive line. Brian Schottenheimer on Donovan Ezeraku who right now could be the darling. The new, well, it could be Booker. It could be Booker, but Ezeraku is the defensive darling for now.
He's doing great. He's doing really, 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 really great. And again, you know, it's the business side of it's going to get done, but you can't watch the guy and not get excited just watching him do the things that we're doing out there on the grass, the things that we saw coming out of Boston College, and then the work ethic is elite.
He has been, while Micah has been away, it's been Ezeraku kind of simulating his role. So he'll the stand-up Micah stuff, some of the practice stuff they do, it's been Ezeraku doing it. And he's a little undersized, like when you look at him. He definitely does stand out as being smaller than some of the other guys, but he is... His tape at Boston College, we talked about it right after he got drafted. He is the most pro-ready pass rusher that was in the draft, to me. More so than Abdul Carter. Like if you're just talking about pass rush traits and nothing else and what he does there, because he's still got some issues in the run. He still gets a little overeager. Because he's smaller, he'll try to dip under guys, and that gets him washed out of the play a lot of times whenever a tackling can get their hands on him. But from just pass rush traits, he has a complete toolbox. He's a great athlete, and... He knows how to get to the quarterback, and that's why I think for him, you're looking at rookie year, he's going to be probably minimum 6 sacks.
I think it was Broadus on G-Bag who said they really feel like they stole one. Like they're giddy. They're giddy inside the building. I think it was Broadus.
Yeah, Ezeraku was a guy who they thought was going to go in the first round. Not that they graded him there, but they thought teams were going to take him in the first round. That's where he was projected to go. A lot of teams were surprised he was there on the second day, and I think for the Cowboys, they enter day two with a handful of guys where it's like, if one of these guys falls to us, we're happy because we got to wait 14 picks or whatever it was. And Ezeraku was on that list of, I think, like 5 guys. And when he got down there, it's like, easy pick. Don't even have to think about it. This is our pass rusher. This is the guy who can really wreak havoc for us. Also yesterday, we got a lot of notes that we can get through throughout the day, but I think the important thing to jump to is because we talked about it so much yesterday, Jake Ferguson was back with the first team yesterday and working out. So, could be just a reps thing. Could have been something that specific day they were scaling back his workload a little bit. CD sat out of practice, you know, just kind of measuring his workload last week. So if you look at Ferguson and say, hey, we want you out
CD
there.
CD sat out last week.
Yeah, he sat out a practice last week. So Ferguson yesterday, he was out there. He actually had a really good day. He had a couple catches in 7-on-7 for touchdowns. He and Dak connected on some of the seam throws. But he was good yesterday, and the little bit we saw him on Tuesday when he was with the second team, he didn't look good. So could have just been he was under the weather or something like that.
And Ferg talking about what we've all been talking about coming off his disappointing 2024.
I mean, yeah, my knee hurt for sure. The concussion was weird, but I've said this before, if I'm out in the field, I should be able to give it my all. So, I definitely wasn't satisfied with how I played the whole year last year. I don't think I've ever played a full season and not scored a touchdown. So that was something I came into this offseason really working on. And so just really tried to dial in on that and make sure I was lights out.
You mentioned not having a touchdown last year. Was that something you were like tracking throughout the year, or was it in reflection? You're like, man, I can't believe I didn't have one.
I mean, yeah. I mean, week 2, I knew I haven't scored. So, yeah, I mean, that one stung. But at the same time, you know, I was asked to do different stuff, so whether it be chipping or pass pro or something like that, and that's okay. I'm trying to do whatever it takes to have this team win and to go and get our ultimate goal. So whatever they need me to do, it was kind of just a personal thing, probably get over that hump. But at the end of the day, yes, I do want to score touchdowns.
Asked to do different things in Mike's offense, huh?
Oh, my God.
Didn't utilize all your weapons, did you?
God forbid I have you block once in a while.
Didn't use your weapons up. Okay, I get it.
Inside the Star in the home of the Dallas Cowboys here.
Good to yesterday.
On Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Peyton Russell once got our segment called Life Hacks canceled, and he wants to bring a part of it back for the payload.
Oh, baby.
Thursday edition is next right here on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Maybe the best player the Cowboys acquired this offseason wasn't George Pickens. At least if Brian Broaddus is to be believed about yesterday's practice. We'll talk about that here in a sec in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. It was an offensive day for the most part out of practice yesterday. Cowboys with their second minicamp practice. They are going to practice again today, which is a little unusual for them. In past years, Mike McCarthy had always given the third day off of minicamp.
I think Vrabel just gave them off in New England.
It's a common thing coaches will do. Like, a lot of coaches will say, we need to maximize our time, let's do that. Other coaches will say, let's do it as a morale boost, give the guys a day early. A lot of times when it's a first-year system, though, or a first-year head coach, they're definitely going to take the third day because it's like, we need as much time as we can with what we're doing. So they are going to practice today. And one guy who is looking to build on a really strong practice, and a guy who's gotten a lot of praise, and Broaddus was talking about this yesterday. I heard him. I texted Zach and Eric a couple things, like a couple notes, like, I bet you these are going to be a couple of things you're going to hear from Broaddus in there. Because I know when Brian watches a game.
Was he giddy being out there and being late to G-Bag?
He looked like, I should have taken a picture of it. When I walked into the lobby and he had his backpack on, he looked like first day of school kid, just like giddy. And he was just like, so do they get
all about the tuna?
Do are we in the right place? Do they come get us here? Because nobody's around here yet. Like, he's like, no, not everybody was going to get here 15 minutes early like you, Brian. We're all here. But it was Brian was super excited to be there, and he was super excited about what he saw from Kyer Elam has had some strong practices out here. Not every day. There have been a couple times where he's been worked over in a practice, or you had the practice last week that we had talked about where George Pickens had beat him deep, but a little bit of air under the ball. So Kyer Elam was able to catch up, knock the pass away. It's good. There was another play where I think Tuesday where people were talking about, oh, he had an interception or he knocked one down. It's like, well, it was also a free play. So like, it was just Dak kind of throwing the ball up because there was a penalty on it. So some of it, when you start tracking the training camp stats, which we'll get into here in just a second from Kyle Shanahan and why he hates that. When you're tracking the training camp or the OTA or the minicamp stats, it's looked good. But the reality is it's actually looked good. This isn't like empty stuff. He's looked better than I was anticipating. And it does give you a little bit of hope for, all right, this was a guy with first round pedigree from a couple of years ago. This was a guy who everybody in Buffalo was like, we wanted it to work, and he worked so damn hard. it just wasn't clicking here. And so it does give you a little bit of a feel of like, could it be just a reset for your background or your scenery? Or the other question, is this just kind of what Kaiir Elam does? Does he flash in practices like these?
Yeah.
And then when you put the pads on or you're in game time, is it not the same level?
Schottenheimer was talking about him last week, like leading kind of the GPS stats.
Dude, he is intense at practice. He runs all over the field. He's been tasked a lot with covering CD. Just because a lot of times it's where CD's lining up, he's lining up. It's not like, hey, go take CD, show us what you got, kid. It's not like that. But he's had some really good reps against CD. CD's gotten his, no doubt about it, but he's been really good. He battles. He's tough. He fights. It's all this positive stuff that you've heard about Kaiir Elam. If he can just kind of center it all together, put it all together, you might have a decent starting cornerback on your hands.
I bet you a lot of guys have that one player they just can't, that they just match up well with.
Yeah. I mean, there's certainly guys who stylistically match up well or
size,
or
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Where it could just be like, that may be a really good press man corner who doesn't have a lot of great long speed, but this one receiver who's really good against everybody else, he doesn't like physicality. That causes a problem for him. Like Josh Norman was getting torched by everybody in the league there for a while, except Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham was the one guy who was like, couldn't do anything against Josh Norman and get in his head, and he'd frustrate him. But this is at least positive development there in the secondary with Kaiir Elam. Another positive development in the secondary, we saw Donovan Wilson out of practice for the first time yesterday. So this entire offseason, Donovan Wilson, Sam Williams, they've both been rehabbing with Britt Brown and getting themselves right. They haven't participated at all, never put a helmet on. Yesterday, we got a surprise from three guys putting helmets on, and two of them were injured players. So Donovan Wilson got in line with the safeties, went through some of the drills. Same thing with Sam Williams going down with the defensive line. They just went through the position drills. As soon as team stuff started, they went back inside for treatment, did their thing. But the other surprising aspect that we got was none other than Micah Parsons. Micah, who had observed practice on Tuesday, was watching the drills on Wednesday, and at least looked. It could have been theater. It could have been theater. And Aiden's got some of the photos up on the fan cam where you can see him. He's staring down at the drill, and then you see him just kind of putting the helmet on, pulling it down, and then all of a sudden he's down there and he's in line. It looked like Micah Parsons' competitiveness just got the best of him.
And I wanted to know earlier today whether Micah's agent knew this was going to happen. What was the text message or phone call that he got from David Mulugeta? Mm-hmm. Or did he know that this was planned?
I think
I'd be texting Micah, stay the hell off the field.
I assume he has to know. I that's my assumption.
It looks like and sounds like it was
spur of the moment.
Although Schottenheimer did say before this week, he expected Micah to do some things on the field.
Yeah. And then Micah had, I think Micah had said if his back had loosened up, that's what he was dealing. He's like, my back's kind of tight.
Yeah.
But he said if it loosened up, he was going to get in there. It did not look like he was going in there, though. It looked like, all right, this is the standard thing he's doing. He's got his beanie on. He's not got a helmet. He's standing there just watching. And then he put it on. Here's my question for you. As you've called him before, Micah Doncic, a little bit of theater there, yep, with him. Do you think this was theater at all? Grab my helmet. I'm going in. Or do you think he was probably always getting in there?
I have no idea. I would have probably had to be there to watch him over the past few days. I don't know whether Jerry said something to him in the 30-minute conversation the day before, you know, to spurn it like, hey,
what's your point?
I want you to really be the leader. Like, just do something to inspire these guys, and then we'll go ahead and get this thing
done.
Don't
tell me what I'm saying.
I have no idea.
He embraced it. It was.
What do you think?
I think.
Was it planned or just spur the moment?
I think it looked genuine. Like, he was. He wasn't going to get in, at least not right then. Maybe he was going to get on some stuff later, but I don't think he was intending to get in there. And then he saw it and he was like, give me the helmet. Come on, let's go. Because I think he was getting a little bit frustrated. I mentioned a second ago, Kyle Shanahan, not a fan of tracking practice stats. This is something that irritates him. This was a quote he gave to like the San Francisco media.
Like your Dak stats yesterday?
That's exactly.
Okay, so you're not talking about like quarterback 5 for 7. You're talking about GPS
all,
stuff.
No, all like the quarterback, like, yeah, how many they completed, yeah, for how long, like literal like NFL statistics.
Okay.
in practice. And this is what he said. He said, I'm trying to get them to trust what they do and let it rip. That's all I want in practice, talking about quarterbacks. He says, you go through all these practices and you never throw a pick. You're probably not getting better. I think that's one of the biggest challenges having you guys around. No offense to you guys, but they used to not report people's stats every day and say who's ahead, who's back, who's whatever. You could just practice. And when guys play to practice that way, they don't get better at anything, and especially a quarterback. I mean, it's hard when you get in that stadium and things like that. Not only are you getting it for the hit for the first time, but now all that stuff counts. I get what he's saying.
I love it.
I get what he's saying.
The Jalen Hurts numbers last offseason and not throwing an interception for a month.
Yeah, right.
100%. Like Cam Ward. There was the note about Cam Ward throwing 18 straight completions the other day. A lot of that can be checked on different stuff like that. And I get what you're saying about you don't focus on that. Let guys practice. Let guys work through stuff. Just like spring training.
A lot of the great quarterbacks will tell you, ask Brady, ask Manning, ask Rodgers. They had no problem throwing picks in practice because they knew, first of all, it didn't matter. You get it back. But second of all, it allows you to see what works and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, will this play fool anybody? Oh, no, it won't. You know, or does this work? Does that work? And if it doesn't work, you know not to use it. Or you know to pull it out in, stop it, very certain situations. You know, okay, you know what? Can't use it in this, against this defense. We might, let's try it again against something else. I totally agree. I mean, I'm like, yeah, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I don't fault him either. I think Kyle Shanahan's generally right. That you don't, tracking practice stats is not always productive. I think when we're looking at how is somebody performing in 7-on-7 and 2-minute drill and things like that, you're not just working on some things. You are trying to execute. There's a competition there of who's better, who's not. I'm not going to track practice stats and like hold that as like here's the entirety of it. But what I am going to say is Jack Sanborn gave up 3 touchdowns yesterday to tight ends in coverage as a linebacker. That seems to me to be kind of relevant. I don't think Jack Sanborn's just working through some stuff, which I know is not what you're saying. Is
right,
that,
but I mean, just look at the U.S. Open. We talked about the putting from 150 yards on the first hole. They try it in the practice round. You know, they just see it. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Then they'll bury it and they'll go back to their normal way. But if it works, hey, great. And that's, I have no problem with tracking the stats, but you use them to it's one data point out of a dozen.
Sean, I'm curious for you, because I know, like, we're obviously, like, I'm on the beat covering it every day. Like, you guys are not, No, I'm just saying, like, the context for how we're working Cowboys coverage can be a little different in the ways it plays out. So I'm saying, for me, I may have a hesitancy of, like, is this productive to tweet, like, a video from training camp or something like that? Like if I see a throw, am I going to be like, nobody's going to have the right context for this and what it means, and it's just going to, like, be a... I feel like then I'm maybe stirring up a thing of, like, oh, this guy's really struggling or something like that. Yeah. That was the thing with the one-on-ones. McCarthy, I think to his credit, McCarthy didn't want to do. He didn't want to do a lot of one-on-ones in training camp because he felt like corners are going to get... If I got corners with rabbit ears, they're going to get embarrassed out here because of the nature of the drill.
Yeah.
And it's
Was it the Diggs video that blew up a couple years ago? Who was it that got beat?
Diggs was getting worked a little bit in some of the one-on-ones.
Maybe it was a fight or something like that. Maybe it was Diggs. Guyton, we got fooled by Guyton versus Micah.
Mm-hmm.
We got fooled. Now, if George Pickens makes a gymnastics catch, that to me has value.
Translates, yeah.
It's like, all right, he's a freak. If Joe Milton throws a missile or throws one 80 yards, it's like, when Joe does it again, I'm like, all right, he's got arm strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the value of it.
It was a pretty bland day, by the way, for Joe Milton since he comes up here. But again, I think they might look at that and say it was a more productive day. Like, we don't have Joe Milton. We know what he can do. We know he can sling the ball around. Sean, like, RJ, you guys are going to have viral videos on Twitter when you park down by the net and Joe Milton's throwing those passes in Oxnard. That's going to get retweeted hundreds of times because it looks really impressive and it's awesome. He was spending a ton of time with Steve Shimko, the quarterback coach, yesterday, talking through things. A lot of it looked like it was more underneath. It looked like the stuff that's boring, quote unquote, to people are probably things that the Cowboys think he really needs to work on and drill down on. But kind of a generic practice from him yesterday. Did have a nice touchdown pass to Jonathan Mingo, though.
What a recap from our Cowboys insider. Other shows in town, brought us for one day, 1 hour. Don't have their full-time hosts also attending practice, Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, and you'll get another full recap tomorrow as they wrap things up in Frisco. Sean and RJ here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Why RJ Choppy is now rooting against Rick Carlisle and Indiana after game 3 last night. That and our final Luke Bryan ticket giveaway of the day after this.
KNC Masterpiece right here on a 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, Corey Majors and the famous Alec Medford. Reminder, in this hour, we will give away tickets to Bryan Adams for his show November 13th at the American Airlines Center in this hour. But right now, and don't worry, I'll do a positive one tomorrow, okay? So just remember we did the negative one. So tomorrow when everyone's like, oh, this Homer bullcrap, blah, 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 we did the negative one first. Describe the Cowboys' nightmare season in 2025 in one sentence or less. You are limited to one comma and one semicolon. We will not tolerate run-on sentences or any other ways to try to avoid the constraints of this topic.
Hey, Owen, I do have a question. How many Dak-based answers do you think there are going to be?
See, I think there's going to be a lot of Dak and Jones ones. See, the one thing, and I don't think this actually answers the question correctly. One sentence, the Jones boys are clowns. But I take it that's already the opinion that you have. So, like, what I want to know is what would happen that would lead you down this road. So, like, for example, I think my nightmare scenario or my nightmare sentence is, like, maybe Dak misses 3 games, you lose them and finish 9-8. And so then
that's a nightmare to you?
It is, because then that just feeds into everything that the Cowboys believe about what they're doing right. And what I mean by that is,
if we'd had Dak, we would have won.
Yeah, exactly. We would have gone 12-5. We would have won the division. We would have made it to the Super Bowl. Like, we're obviously on the right track. Like, nightmare scenarios for me, that's one of them. Another one, if it's okay, I'm sorry. I know I started off by cheating, would be Tyler Guyton appears unable to play left tackle.
Okay.
That would be like a nightmare scenario for me. So I want to turn it over to y'all. I want to turn it over to the fan text from the 214, because I think you might be right, and eventually we'll tweak it up and maybe take Dak out if that's the case. From the 214, game 3, Dak injured again and out for the season. From the 817, Dak goes down. From the 214, Cowboys lose in the NFC Championship game.
That's not a nightmare.
I would be, I'll say it right now, I'll be thrilled if that happens.
You'll be duck static.
I will. Man.
DuckTales is taking over our breaks, by the way.
Twolo Tasha sent us the full produced DuckTales, like, we want to get this on the radio for 4 minutes song. It's better off the way it was.
I think that was when they would have a shorter content show.
The episode ran
short. So like, let's run this a little extra.
Do the long one.
I have two different versions of this, Kevin. Two different versions. Oh. I think one's more effective than the other.
Okay.
Version number one. The Cowboys start off 3-0. A significant contributor gets hurt and Tyler Guyton has not progressed. So starting off 3-0, you've beaten the Eagles. What? You just beat the Super Bowl champs riding high.
That makes you the linear Super Bowl champion.
Then who do you beat? Yes, that is correct. The linear. That doesn't pass over in preseason games.
Forever.
Okay, but in preseason games.
Oh yeah, no preseason. They don't count. Games, okay. Correct.
And the linear Super Bowl champion means the Super Bowl champion won. The next person to beat them is now considered the linear Super Bowl.
It's almost
champion.
Like a boxing and or the person wrestling
who beats
idea.
Them and the person who beats that next.
Yeah.
The next game is against the Giants. What do you think of the Giants?
I think they're going to stink.
You're 2-0. Then you beat the Bears. Maybe the Bears aren't quite as good as you thought they were going to be. Like that, all three of those things right there are actually, being 3-0 is not a good thing for the Cowboys there. That being said, you could be 5-0 at the end of that stretch, 6-0 going into the Washington game.
Okay.
But the significant player, it's not CeeDee Lamb because you got Pickens now. The idea with having Pickens is, all right, what happens if CeeDee Lamb isn't there, right? That's why you have Pickens. Not as much as, hey, we have two lethal pieces, but if we're really going to make a run at it this year, we need to have a just-in-case situation. And Pickens is just-in-case Lamb. Now, if you get both of them going all year, man, that's a thumbs up. And then, as you said, Tyler Guyton's place. But the one very easy encapsulates everything and encapsulates all of our fears is this sentence. The Cowboys still can't stop the run. That right there would be a nightmare situation because, A, we would talk about how we can't stop the run again, and now how do we fix the defense if we have a defensive coordinator that couldn't fix that part? I think they're going to. That's something I think they're going to be better at this year. But if that's the case, that's a nightmare scenario.
So some people have taken this in like, I'm gonna read you three back to back to back because it shows just how different the idea is. And even my opinion might be way different than a lot of people thinking. All right. So from the 214, 8-9 for the Cowboys and they finish in the teens for the draft. That is their nightmare scenario because it feels like you've seen that. Whether you want to go back to Garrett or whatever, it feels like you've seen that a lot.
Tyler Booker. I mean, they can still get a good pick.
Hopefully that is the case. And then from the 214, Cowboys win the division and we lose in the first round of the playoffs. And then, again, these were back to back to back from the 903. Cowboys are still are super healthy and still go 5-12. This is going to be my fringy opinion for the segment. I don't think that is the end of the world. And the reason
the season isn't fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's it. We've gone through a miserable season where you're like, there's no hope for the rest of the year.
Exactly. And so like with the other ones, and the reason why I don't think that's the end of the world, although I understand that argument, is because then I wonder if you'd have to finally take that step back and look at your roster. Because if you go 8-9, you draft in the teens, we've seen it. They'll tell us they're right by the rim and they're going to dunk it home or whatever. And then if they win the division and lose in the first round or lose in the divisional round, they're going to be like, yeah, that was just bad luck on the matchup. We're right there. We're about to do it. At 5-12 without major injuries, then you have to take a step back and be like, wow, we have done a terrible job of talent management and talent acquisition, and we need to reevaluate.
Yeah, and then do you think that's the case, or do you think they go, well, the coaching staff obviously was the problem again?
You know what?
We made a poor decision there. I'm trying to.
Maybe.
This is me trying to go through the Cowboys' brain.
Yeah.
And figure that part out because they don't like admitting that they've made an error in judgment.
Yeah.
Whether it be their coaching or their players. So I don't know which one would get the decision on that.
From the 469, Cowboys extend Dak Prescott. Man, what a fascinating turn of events that would be. Well, at least they finally made a decision.
That means they won the Super Bowl.
You know what?
If the Cowboys won the Super Bowl.
One would hope.
And they extended Dak, would you go, sure, fine.
Yes, 100%. I don't care if they won the Super Bowl 6-3. That's fine. You won the Super Bowl. Do whatever the hell you want.
For how long? 30 years, obviously.
Obviously, I accept it for 30 years. I can't stand here and be like, well, I'm going to quit watching that. I won't. You make a fair point. From the 817, the Cowboys make Micah Parsons the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. That, I believe that nightmare is going to come true for you in about a month and a half.
The highest paid non-quarterback?
Yes. I for sure think that dream is going to come true. Or that nightmare is going to come true. From the 214, that Micah has more podcasts about how the Cowboys are stinking than he has sacks on the field.
Yeah,
but then he would have gotten paid, and so
his content. Yeah, his content's going to be great.
Alec, one sentence. What is your nightmare scenario for the Cowboys 2025 season?
My nightmare scenario for the Cowboys season would look like this: the Cowboys make the playoffs without Dak Prescott at quarterback.
Oh, my God. Because then they're going to be like, we put Dak in, we win the Super Bowl.
Exactly. Because how many narratives are going to be spun after that? In every which direction.
Yeah.
Let's just say it is Joe Milton who ends up being the guy who carries them the rest of the season. This is assuming a mid-season injury.
Yeah.
So let's say he has to start 6 games of the regular season. And he's responsible for a lot of that success. They go into the playoffs, even if it is a first-round exit. then what are you talking about next year? How can we get out of that deal?
Yeah.
Because Joe Milton is everything we ever dreamed of. And then you look at Dak Prescott's cap hit, and you start looking at some of these scary numbers like $74 million for next season.
Yeah.
And then you start saying, well, the potential out, that actually makes sense, 2028. Like, you start looking at that. But then if you want to say, hey, like you just pointed out, if he did play, man, we would have went further. We would have at least made the NFC Championship. And that's all just projecting. That's all going to be conversation from the front office, from the team itself, from even some of us, that if we just had our main guy at the helm that's been here forever and understands this team and this offense, we would have went as far as our imaginations would have taken us. There are so many different things that would come up from that, and I don't want that to happen. If they do overachieve this year and make a playoff run and a deep one, I want it to be with four at quarterback, because then every decision that they've made up to this point is justified. I don't want to sit here talking about how and why Joe Milton should be the next Cowboys quarterback. Or you say, should we draft one next year? Blah, blah, blah. I don't want that to be the conversation, because the numbers and the future looks really scary if you have to have that conversation.
The 4-6-9 nightmare scenario, and I will tell you, I fundamentally disagree with the last part of it, but I appreciate all of the opinions. Tyler Guyton does great, but the poor play of Dak and the Cowboys has them finish with a worse record than the Giants. Now, that would theoretically be the end of the sentence. They did tag on, the Cowboys fans finally see what the rest of us know. Dak is an elite backup, but not a starter. So I disagree with that last part 100%. Dak Prescott is a starting quarterback in this league. And I don't mean
he finished second MVP voting.
I've heard.
A couple years ago.
But I mean he is an acceptable starting quarterback in this league. I'm not just saying he starts, but like, he is an acceptable starting quarterback in this league, and I feel like most people are on that same page. But the other problem with that I run into continually is, there's nothing you can do about it right now. Like, if you think Dak is the reason for all the problems of this franchise, which I do not, there's nothing you can do about it this year. There's nothing you can do about it next year. Then after that, I can try to have the conversation with how you get out of it. But there's nothing you can do for the next couple of years.
Yeah, and a lot of times, Kevin, we do get kind of caught up in the idea of there are 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Dak's a backup. Actually, there are, 8 to 10 legitimate, really good starters in the NFL, then there are a bunch of other guys that are in the NFL and they're quarterbacks in the NFL because they need to fulfill. And then there are about, six that shouldn't be in the NFL. Yeah.
But you're waiting until a better opportunity. And
Dak's kind of, he was in that top 10 area for a while.
Sure.
The last couple of years have been a little weird. Or last year was a little weird, obviously, because he finished second in MVP voting 2 years ago.
I am aware.
But there was a time when people were like, man, is he that next iteration of what a great Cowboys quarterback is? But again, a lot of times we're just like, oh, they're this. There's only a handful of really good ones.
Yeah.
And if you have one of them, you better take advantage of that moment while you have them and have a good team around them.
As you could probably guess, a lot of people's nightmare season scenarios revolve around injury from the 3-2-5. Michael Parsons has a career-ending injury from the 2-1-4 serious CeeDee Lamb injury. And both of those would be concerning because, first of all, the people and the player they are, but also you just got CeeDee Lamb under contract. I assume if Mike is going to play, it will be because he is under contract. And from the 8-1-7, Brandon Aubrey misses the rest of the season. Brandon Aubrey is ridiculously fun to watch, so I would be sad if he missed a big chunk of the season.
I did a little, when you sent this over yesterday, Kevin, I was like, man, I'm putting some thought into this one.
I appreciate
for
that.
The first time.
Do you do that with all the segments or just this
one? Let me finish this comment first before I don't answer that. But I was thinking, I was like, okay, something a little different. And so I went and looked and I said, the Cowboys can't start 0-3.
Okay.
Because they've done that 4 times, I believe, in their history.
Ooh, wow, that's not a lot.
6 times, maybe.
Oh,
never made the playoffs in those years.
Ooh, okay.
Missed the playoffs in every one of them. However, they've 7 times started off 0-2, and 1 time.
Hold on.
They made the playoffs.
Wasn't that the Emmett year? The Emmett holdout year?
1 time. They went to the second round of the playoffs. 1 time, Kevin, they won the Super Bowl.
That was the Emmett year.
So they can start off 0-2.
Okay.
If as long as their team is elite and great.
If Micah is out the first two games.
It doesn't have and then to be that. Come we don't back. Know. They okay. can start off 0-2 and then right. go on a run, okay. but they can't start off 0-3. And Kevin, 0-4? What are we talking about at this point?
Okay.
So they need to at least start off 2-1 or 1-2.
What I'm honestly surprised that no one brought this up was Pickens blows up on the team and or his teammates. At least in that scenario, you're only...
Aren't we kind of expecting that?
Are you?
At some point.
So I say over under blow up against the team or his teammates at 0.5. You're like, you're obviously taking the over.
Yeah, and you trying to figure out when is probably the one, like okay. what week,
yeah,
you know, before you. Or after, which week is it? That's where I'm probably going to dive in. Obviously, he's in a honeymoon period right now.
Sure.
And he has a lot to prove to a lot of other teams in the NFL that want to sign him to a big contract. Cowboys would be smart to say, this is your year. Let's get the best out of you for a reasonable price. And good luck doing whatever you want to do with some other team instead of paying him that money.
Right.
But I just feel like that at some point, something is going to go haywire and he's going to be upset.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the King, Brian.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you to Reliant as well for being a part of this. You guys are super folks. Also, thanks to my teammates for allowing me to go watch practice today.
You got it.
So, dude, I really do absolutely. Appreciate
it's
you
a,
guys.
It's a benefit for us and for you.
No, I really do appreciate
it's therapeutic
it.
For you, dude. We know how much you need that.
I do. I do need that. That's a...
for your mentals, you know?
For my mentals is...
You're talking doctor, basically, watching practice. You're just not right.
Yeah. Save space.
Not right. And two, Dawson, can I say thanks to Abbott's Frozen Custard?
Wow. What'd you try?
I had that taco thing.
Dude, the taco. How phenomenal. We've had a void for a couple years now with no Choco Tacos.
How do you take a... It's the cone and they... I guess they just... They bend it?
Yeah.
They bend it to put the
homemade
ice cream
cone.
Yeah. And they just that waffle cone, it just
it's like a taco.
It's a beautiful vessel for custard.
It's crazy how good that was. I'm just gonna say this. Might be the best dessert I've ever had.
Whoa!
I'm a 61-year-old man eating a lot of desserts in my life. Love key lime pie, have had all the things you have to order ahead that had, you know, everything, creme brulee, all that stuff. Like I've had all that, everything. That right there, I have never had Abbott's. And by gosh, I would have that again. That just crushed that 4 mile
walk. Takes the cake and the Choco Taco.
I just take. I know it's called. It's called the Choco Taco.
Well, that was the OG that you get in the ice cream stores or 7-Eleven little cooler there. But that the Choco Taco went away is what the guys were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And now Abbott's has filled that void.
Thank you to Abbott's for stopping by and making our lives a little better today. All right, I promised you I watched this football practice today. I said this about our Sam Williams not wearing that knee brace, right?
Yes.
I noticed that right off the jump.
It's great news. I mean, we're almost a year removed from that injury.
Yeah, but I wonder if he's going to wear it during the season. But today at practice, he did not have it on. The practice was indoors, and trust me, I was grateful. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah,
you'd be sweating.
I knew you would be. I would be kind of musty right now if that was the case.
It's also a better view for practice, I think.
I was sitting up there pretty high. And, you know, was just hanging out there. But I got to see a lot more of the individual stuff today. But they did do some things in team, just a little bit of team, some two-minute stuff. And then they did some red zone stuff. So, you know, it was a good practice to kind of get. Now, I'm just things I've noticed. First off, there are working Lamb. And our little guy.
Turpin. Or Deuce Vaughn.
No. Vaughn actually ahead of Blue.
The Littles?
Wow. Right now. Like when they went to some two work, they put Vaughn ahead of Blue in some of those opportunities. Now I don't know if it was one of those things. Now
I wouldn't panic. I would not panic about it.
No, I think this is a thing because we saw with what Bobby was talking about yesterday with Ferguson, I think they are just playing with the lineup a little bit because you did see Ferguson back today getting a little bit more. But the thing is with Spanford, The thing with Spanford is that, and we were talking about him and catching the football.
Mm-hmm.
It's still what it is. You know,
it's not natural.
It's not. And they do this drill where they have these bags with these extended like pads for arms.
Uh-huh.
And so he has to come around the pad and then, you know, he just doesn't look comfortable doing it. It's just like he's kind of fighting himself a little bit.
It's hard.
Catching the ball.
Got to become one with the pigskin,
man. But, you know, Ferguson, a couple nice little seam plays down there that were really good. But if I could go back, like I say, they were practicing some toss. Okay, here I'm about to get in trouble here.
Lamb and Turpin toss?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, here's going to be that, put that big number, you know, put that you know, the big wide receivers out there and just let them crack down inside. You know, crack toss stuff like
that.
Now
you got Mingo out there.
Mingo, yeah. Remember how Mingo, on the edge, and then get those guys.
Is this like end around toss or is this like out of the backfield?
This is like lined up like in an eye and then just toss it.
Cool.
You know, and you're like.
Well, you saw that with Turpin at the end of last year when they made him like a tailback.
They were a couple of times where they just handed him the ball.
Yeah.
And it was to the line of scrimmage and through. Yeah. And you're like going, all right, here we go. I like what we're doing here.
Yeah, I like that.
But I will say this. How about our guy Thomas, the guard that from
Nate Thomas. Louisiana.
He was playing backup right tackle today.
Well, okay, so he was a tackle.
I was going to ask you about that because we saw him.
Yeah, I liked his tape at tackle, but yeah. Last year he moved into guard. But that's interesting. Maybe he's a guy that can compete for some swing opportunity.
Yeah, because he was playing as that right tackle. I thought, well, they're going to plug him in and let him play some guard. Because
they've got an overflow of guards now with the addition of Robert Jones.
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
That is absolutely right. All right. So we've got running, we've got wide receivers doing some of the stuff in the backfield right now. And I think that's something you're going to continue to see right there. Today, I'll tell you what, man, it is when they get down in the goal line, what they're going to do here is they're going to use Pickens and they're going to use Lamb to the same side is what they're going to do.
As they should.
Today, Pickens was the underneath guy. Lamb was the underneath guy. Pickens was the over-top corner guy.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're taking advantage of Pickens' ability to go get the football.
Uh-huh. Vertical.
So he's going
vertical.
Pylon.
So yeah,
back pylon.
So back pylon guy where Lamb is next to him, but working under and kind of the pivot routes. When I say like in-out routes,
mm-hmm.
He's the guy that's kind of doing that today. So it's like it was just those two working. And with Dak, and this was during the special teams drill, and I was just sitting there watching him. And they never put Pickens inside. They always put Lamb inside, and he was always going to be that guy. And they were actually working a couple of times where he was at the goal line, and they just hit him quick. It's just that kind of like – and then he sat on the ground, and quarterbacks threw him balls like they were like, yo, get to a spot, get down, and just throw it to the ground.
Okay.
To locate. So he literally – he ran a route, then came and then caught a ball. Then the next one, he just stopped and sat on the ground. And all three quarterbacks took turns throwing him the ball, like trying to put it in a spot
mm-hmm.
where maybe like we get down the goal line and he's going to just pivot inside and you just hit him quick and he's going to get down. But it is clear that they want Pickens to be the guy that work in the back in the end zone and work into the corner of it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of his ability to go get the football.
Totally. Makes sense. Playing to his strengths.
CD's naturally the guy that creates more separation.
Yeah, absolutely like that. All right. When I was watching some of the stuff they were doing on defense here, we'll talk about that a little bit. Another, you know, pretty decent day for our guy Elam. And what they tried to do was like they tried to take him on this vertical route. And he was running the route, but it was with Tolbert. So it wasn't somebody that's got like this explosive speed down the field. It was like Tolbert's out wide. Here's here's Elam. He's gonna carry him off the line, turn, and then this is the first play of 2 minute with Dak. He's gonna try and launch the ball down the right sidelines. And Hooker was in the middle of the field. Hooker was a little late to adjust. You know, that's kind of what Hooker does. Little late to adjust. But Elam with really good position inside to be able to to keep the ball from, I mean, the ball was too far down the field, but he's step for step with Tolbert. There was another time where they tried to throw the ball inside to Lamb, and Elam was inside on that one and knocked the ball down. So there were a couple of different times where Elam was having to carry routes down the field, and one of them, again, against the slower Tolbert, which you can run with Tolbert, but Lamb from the outside trying to get to the inside. They tried to isolate. What they did was they put Span forward on the outside, so they tried to create width in the middle of the defense, and they put CD inside with kind of like at a reduced look. Remember we were talking about playing down and tight? So he's going to run. They're going to try and create space with some width by moving the tight end and that. But nice job by Elam being able to carry the route from the inside. Like they took the linebacker, actually took McQuamu. They were playing some dime steps, six defensive backs. And they were using McQuamu as a dime linebacker. And he was picking up tight ends is what he was doing.
Like that, okay.
And Hall, the other
North
corner.
North Texas Main Green.
He was playing as the nickel. So when they went with the starters, Hall was the nickel on these packages and stuff like that. But they were trying to isolate CD one-on-one with Elam, and Elam was able to make the play. So, you know, showing
up every practice.
That's encouraging for sure.
Maybe it's something with the media practices. I don't know. The other practices, he might be terrible. But you do see, it was nice to see him carry a couple of different routes. But it was also good to see a little bit of creativity of trying on down on the goal line to be able to get Pickens and Lamb on the same side and allow them to work. Maybe, like I say, Lamb a little bit underneath and then Pickens towards the back of the end zone as well.
Beautiful. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. David Hellman, NFL on Fox, jumps on with us next here on The Fan. Here we go. It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation, the second to final hour. We're going till 6 o'clock tonight. Rangers baseball is coming up. They're going to try to whoop the Twins again. Jack Leiter is on the hill. And looking forward to talking with Sands more about this coming up at 4:40 right here on The Fan, home of the Rangers, home of your Dallas Cowboys. Brian was at practice earlier. A lot going on with this team. Micah Parsons was there. And he actually was feeling good and got so excited he wanted to jump in a drill before we heard Brian.
A couple of competitive little reps that he was making sure that Sam Williams had somebody to work against, and Sam looked good.
How does Araku do in that drill?
I'll tell you what, Araku, it's funny because we were talking about Thomas coming off the edge.
Oh, that would not be a good matchup for Nate.
It was tough.
He's slow-footed.
Araku is one of these guys that he just knows how to bend and he knows how to explode. And the first step, I mean, he is getting some ground and then he is dipping and he's able to kind of get underneath the blocker because of his first step.
I love it.
We've talked about the guys that were in this draft that really
he
could
was
bend him,
a top
our guy
three
at Marshall,
edge. 100%.
You know, yeah. I mean, there was, he was one of the better bendy
Pierce.
Guys.
Yeah. David Hellman, NFL on Fox, joins you now here on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm great, guys. What's going on?
Well, we got Micah. You know, I guess it's so much fun. He wanted to jump in there. Who do you blame more for this hold in that we're looking at in this Micah deal still unresolved?
I mean, every time we do this, I think that, you know, there's going to be people that are going to take both sides of the argument, and I know the old cliche that it takes two to make a deal, but we do this every other summer. I mean, this will be the third major player we've done this with in the last year, I think. And there's one common denominator. You know, it seems like I mean, there's going to be contract disputes every single year. I know Trey Hendrickson and TJ Watt are going through them right now. It's not unique to the Cowboys, but it is unique to the Cowboys that they're one of the only franchises that doesn't manage to make it happen with a top of the market star in a timely fashion. They do deals one of two ways. It's either the player agrees to a discount and it gets done in a timely fashion, or the player wants top of the market and it plays out until the 11th hour. So I'm always going to lay the blame with the Cowboys until they buck that trend. Cause like I said, I mean, if it's a one-off, or if it's something that doesn't happen very often, we can talk about the player's approach and whether he's doing things above board. But when you have this consistent history going back over the last 10 or 15, maybe even longer than that, where else am I supposed to go but with the thing that stays the same, and that's the front office.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And I guess the next question is like, how damaging is it to miss time or to force your players to miss time so they can get your value while you're on your third defensive coordinator over the last 19 months?
I mean, it's never good to have guys not practicing and not, you know, getting reps. And I worry that the longer you sit out, the more durability is a concern. Like, how good is your conditioning going to be? How ready are you going to be? But I mean, we just saw CD miss most of the off season, basically all of it really, and come out and have an all pro season last year. You know, he had 1200 yards and didn't even get to play with Dak Prescott for most of his season. So it's definitely not ideal. But if they're, I mean, when you're talking about first team all pros, guys like Micah Parsons, I'm a little less worried than I would be otherwise. Now, is that an excuse to leave it until late August? Absolutely not. But I'm not as worried as I would be if it was somebody else.
David, why would there be any, and circle back on Micah, why would there be any reason for David Mulugeta to talk to the Joneses?
I mean, well, because if the Joneses are ready to do business, which it doesn't seem like they are. I mean, I've been following the whole storyline with Micah and Jerry supposedly having a framework in mind, and all that's left to do is call David Mulugeta. The reason why he would want to talk to him is if they're ready to play ball with a deal that would make Micah the highest paid edge rusher.
Yeah,
but I don't get the impression that they're going to do that right now.
They had the early conversations with Mulugeta, and Mulugeta will not call him back. Is what if I told you that?
I would say I'm completely unsurprised, because Mulugeta is—he's
ruthless. He's ruthless in a good way.
He's well known for getting the deal that his guy wants.
Absolutely,
and the Joneses are well known for hemming and hawing and only being willing to get something done in a timely fashion when it favors them. And that's certainly not the case with Micah Parsons when you look at what he's done over the first 4 years of his career.
How do they change this path then, David? Do they play hardball with Micah Parsons? How do they change the direction of this?
They'll probably do what they always do, Brian. They'll wait until we're a few weeks into training camp, and Micah will wind up getting the deal that he wants, and we'll just get ready to do this all over again. Like, I don't have a good answer for you other than, like I said, we got a pretty long history going back here, and the only time this stuff gets done in non-frustrating fashion is when the player in question is willing to take either a lot less than market value or a little bit less. I mean, we saw Trayvon Diggs slotted in. I think when he signed his deal,
yeah, sure did.
He was like fourth best. You know, obviously the famous one is Tyron Smith. I mean, he locked himself down for a decade, which you could easily argue that, you know, from a business perspective, was not the best move he could have made. So, this stuff gets done in non-frustrating fashion when guys are willing to do that. And if they're not, then it plays out to its frustrating conclusion with the Cowboys ultimately giving the guy the deal that he wants. Now, why does it need to go until August or maybe even September? I couldn't tell you. I mean, there's two guys that can answer that question.
What are your thoughts about the Brian Schottenheimer, the energy, the culture change, all the players are talking about? It's fun to play football again. I was pessimistic, Dave, but I'm starting to kind of buy into what Shotty's building here a little bit.
I mean, it's fun. I said this on Twitter last week. I mean, it is fun. And you know, I don't know Brian Schottenheimer personally. I left Dallas before he got hired. But he seems like a really fun guy. I've enjoyed his press conferences. His approach is refreshing. I do think it's interesting that, again, Micah Parsons is in a contract dispute, and he still showed up to minicamp, and he also went on the record and said he plans to be an Oxnard. I don't know if you can give all of the credit to that to Brian Schottenheimer, but it's a departure from what we've been used to. It's different than what things were like with Mike McCarthy. Now, having said that, I roll my eyes a little bit because I roll my eyes at the idea of a complete culture change, because culture comes from the top, and the top of the Cowboys organization is never going to completely change. I mean, Jason Garrett, for all of his faults, had a strong, persistent message in his football culture. And in a lot of ways, it worked. Like, building the team that he wanted, he had a lot of success doing that, and he was consistently undermined by Jerry and Stephen Jones. And you could say the same thing about Mike McCarthy. You know, Mike McCarthy came in and very quickly had to adapt to working for a front office that was a lot more involved than what he was used to in Green Bay. So I like Shoddy. It definitely feels like the vibes are high around the team right now. And I definitely think that that can pay dividends, but I think we gotta pump the brakes a little bit when we're talking about a culture change. I think that's or at least a complete culture change. I think that's a step or two too far.
Dave Hellman, NFL on Fox, with us here in the Nation. Would a Von Miller or Jair Alexander addition warm up your football heart?
I mean, Von Miller, not really. Like at his age, with his injury history, not really. And honestly, between, you know, people think I'm so negative, like between what they did with Dante Fowler and then drafting Donovan Ejiroku, like I feel pretty good about the edge rushers on the Cowboys roster. So that doesn't do a whole lot for me. Jair Alexander, I think it's at least worth kicking the tires. I mean, obviously people are going to say he hasn't played more than 7 or 8 games most of the last 4 years. And that's what's going to make his contract interesting, right? Like, I'm guessing this guy is going to get an incentive-heavy deal, like, you know, a 1-year deal that's probably worth like $10 or $12 million, and then incentives on top of that can make him much more higher paid if he's available. I think that's worth it if you're the Cowboys. I mean, we don't know what to expect from Trayvon Diggs. Obviously, the rookie, Revell, not sure what to expect from a timeline perspective there. So I think cornerback is a huge, huge issue, at least for the first 5-6 weeks of the season, if not the entire year. So if you could get something like that done, like some sort of very incentive-based deal for Jair Alexander, I think it would be a great idea.
David Hellman with us here in the G-Bag Nation. I hope everyone's okay if I segue away from the Cowboys for a second. I want to ask you about the state of college football right now. Big-time LSU fan. We had a lot of changes across the board with the NIL deals and the new laws that have been passed. What do you think about college football here entering 2025?
I'm guessing that in less than a decade, it's going to be a completely unrecognizable sport, and totally contrary to what I loved about it. I mean, the things I still love about college football, it's a very regional sport. So like the thing that made it fun was that the Southeast did it a little bit differently than Texas, and they both did it differently than the West Coast, and the Midwest was its own thing. And you had this regional aspect to it. And on top of that, the season meant so much because one loss could completely derail your hopes. So we've already gotten rid of the regionality. Like we're hurtling toward super leagues. We're going to have like 2 18 team conferences soon. I would be willing to bet that. And obviously, the season already means less than it did, and it'll soon mean even less because they're going to expand to like 16, however many teams they settle on. I'm always going to watch college football if LSU is fielding a team. I'm just that, and Brian's with me on this. Like, I'm just that type of sicko where if LSU's playing, I'm going to watch. But everything I really loved about the sport is slowly going away. And I don't care. I want players to get paid. I'm all in favor of NIL. I don't mind the transfer portal. If you really love your team that much, you can spend an hour one day in the off season learning who you added and who you lost. Like, it's not that hard to keep up with the transfer portal. My thing is, like I said, it's going to be NFL junior here in about 5 years. And that's not super appealing to me. We already have the NFL. So it's a little bit of a bummer.
LSU's got a playoff shot this year, so that's exciting.
David Hellman, NFL on Fox, thank you so much for your time, dude. Enjoy your summer, and we hope to see you in Oxnard, sir.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate it.
Salute. There he goes. Must follow on Twitter, listen to his podcast, and you'll be smarter and more entertained about football. Okay, coming up next here in the G-Bag Nation, Wolchuk, what do you got for us?
Yeah, man, let's get into a mixed bag. We got the anonymous Major League Baseball player poll, latest NFL signings, and are you pumped for this fight?
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.